Today on Brave with Pastor Jeff Schwarzentraub.
When you walk in the Word, it's as if God puts His hand on you in such a way that He does something in and through you that only He can do. That He's the one that's moving in and through you. He's the one talking through you. He's the one doing it. Other people may see the Spirit of God and be like, well, what's that? Well, that's not Him. You know what? That's not her. That's the Spirit of God coming through. How does that come? Through the continuation of the Word.
Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Schwarzentraub, founder and lead pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. Do you remember as a kid going through growing pains, those uncomfortable aches that seemed to come on for no reason? Of course, we recognize as adults that those pains did have a reason, and they were important seasons of growth. Well, today on Brave, Pastor Jeff shows us how in a similar way, the trials and temptations of life may feel uncomfortable, beneath the surface, there's a major opportunity for spiritual growth. We're continuing a new series called Walk Your Talk. And if you need to revisit a previous message, or you can't stick around for any part of today's lesson, feel free to listen whenever you can at our website, bravemedia.online. But now, here's Pastor Jeff with a message titled, Growing in the Word.
This is how we're called to respond when we're in a trial. How to respond when we're dealing with temptation. And here's what the Word says. He says in verse 19, this you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the Word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides in it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. And here, the half-brother of Jesus, inspired by the Holy Spirit, highlights for us how it is that we can grow in Christ during trials. How is it we can use it as an opportunity to build our spiritual muscles? And he's going to give us four ways to do that this morning that we can really grow. So when you go through a trial, when you're being tempted severely, if you'll apply what he's telling you here, this is how you will grow in Christ. And here's the first way that we grow in Christ. I'll give you four this morning. Growing in Christ or growing in the Word requires concentration on the Word. Notice what he says. You already know this, but everyone. Who's everyone? That's y'all. That's me. But everyone must be. This is not a suggestion. This is a command for those who want to grow in Christ. If you're in Christ, you want to grow in Christ. So everyone must know this. He must do what? He must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Why? For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. When you're going through a trial, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. When you go through a trial, God is wanting to talk to you. When you're experiencing deep temptation, God is wanting to talk to you. Be quick to listen to God and slow to speak. Guard your tongue as to what you say to God and guard your tongue as to what you say to others about your circumstance. Every time you complain, what you are saying is God doesn't know what he's doing. Growing in Christ and growing in the Word requires a concentration on the Word. It doesn't mean you get religious today and say, okay, tomorrow at this time, I'm going to spend time in the Word. You probably won't be able to do it because the enemy will do everything to distract you from doing it. The bigger question is, how do I make focus time, concentration on the Word, a priority in my life? It's concentration on the Word. Number two is this, growing in Christ also requires preparation for the Word. Notice what he says in verse 21, therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. Filthiness is the idea of moral impurity, and wickedness is evil. He says, therefore, put all that stuff aside. He says, you cannot hear clearly what God is saying when there's unconfessed sin in your life. But there has to be somewhat of a spiritual shower, so to speak, where you're preparing yourself to be able to hear what the God of the universe wants you to hear. Like, Lord, is there anything in my life at all that's not aligned with what you want me to be? Because I can't think of anything. But if you have anything, I'd love to hear what that is. Would you speak to me? I promise you, God will speak. See, there's a preparation for the word. Let me give you a third way that you can grow in Christ. Not only concentration on the word or preparation for the word, but how about application with the word? Then he says this, verse 22, but prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. Prove yourselves, he says, doers of the word and not merely hearers and delude yourself. Don't deceive yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. Right? What good is it if you look, but then you don't respond to what you see and you forget what you see? Like, what good is it to look in the mirror and notice you have broccoli in your teeth if you're not going to take the broccoli out when you go say hi to everybody and smile at them? Right? He's like, that's what it means if you say, you know what? I'm not really a doer of the word. I'm just a hearer of the word. Hearing the word is really, really good. It's really, really important. And the longer I've been a pastor, the more I believe in the entirety of the word. If you would have pressed me some 14 years ago before I became the pastor of this church, Jeff, do you believe in the authority and inerrancy of the scriptures? I would have said 100% yes. If you would have pushed me on it, I would have said, if the Bible says it, I believe it, even if I don't understand it. But having to stand here week after week, month after month, year after year, and preach the whole counsel of God, I believe it in a way, way more than I did before. Like, I believe every part of it, and it irritates me at my core when somebody doesn't. Like, it bothers me. So I believe all of it. Even the stuff I don't understand, I'm like, God, that's right. Even if I don't understand it, you're right, I'm wrong. I believe that, but I'll say this, listen. To know a lot and not apply it is worse than knowing a little and applying all of what you do know. I've been on the mission field with people, pastors, they've had zero Bible training, they know nothing, and they've gotten saved, and they don't know anything, but they're running around telling everybody about Jesus, and what little they do know, they're putting into practice, which is how you grow spiritually. To know a lot and not use it is worse than anything, right? I mean, take what you do know and put it into practice, and that will grow your spiritual muscles. Because here's what happens in church. The Bible tells us knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. I mean, you can come to Brave Church, a church that preaches the whole counsel of God, and you can say, I don't really know anything. I don't really know how many books there are in the Bible. I don't understand what a Corinthian is or a Philippian, or I don't know any of these things. And I would say to you, welcome. No problem. But if you know how to forgive somebody, put that into practice, you're welcome here. It's not what you do know, because what happens in some churches that are Bible churches is there's a lot of knowledge that's going around with a limited amount of application, and pride just seeps through it. And everybody thinks they're more spiritual if they have more knowledge. No, you're more spiritual with how obedient you are to the Lord with what you know. Amen? When you meet Jesus on Judgment Day, he's not giving you a written exam of how much of the Bible you know. He's gonna qualify your life by how well you listened and were obedient to what he showed you. Individually, there's no award for Bible scholar in heaven. There's just not. The only true award in heaven is that we get to worship the one, the Lord Jesus Christ, and who he is. We're putting him on display, amen? And the interesting thing about the word is it's more than just a mirror. It's more like an x-ray machine. Hebrews 4:12 says, the word of God is living and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates to divide both soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and it judges the attitudes and the intentions of the heart. I mean, this is the only book in the world that when you read this book will read you. That's how you know it's living and active. Because if you're really open to what God has to say, this book will encourage you and this book will offend you, and it will never stop. It does both all the time. because it's an x-ray machine that goes down to your soul. Because when a person is saved, the Spirit of God is implanted deep inside of that person. The resurrected Christ lives inside of you. You are in the realm of Christ. And now this word that's coming to you is aligning with this word that is inside of you. And that word inside of you wants all of this, because this word inside of you wants to become the fullness of what you were intended to do. And it starts chiseling off all the things that aren't supposed to be there. When you're in Christ, he sees you as perfect. When you're in Christ, he sees you as forgiven. When you're in Christ, he sees you as holy. And then he uses the word on this side of heaven so he can chisel away all those things in your life that aren't aligned, which is why sometimes it's so encouraging. Oh, I'm glad that got chiseled off. And other times it's so painful, like, why are you taking that? That's part of me. And it's an ongoing process, because God is in the sculpting business of seeing you the way you were designed to be and presenting you and getting ready to present you faultless before the Father. And that's an ongoing process. That's where there has to be application with the word. When I say with, it means you can't do this yourself. I mean, when you read the book of James, he would have been a great campaigner for Nike. I mean, it's just do it. Just do it. Apply it. Go, go. But we know that we can't just take what God says and go do it ourselves. We need the help of the Holy Spirit. We need the help of Jesus to do that. So when Jesus talks to you and he shows you what you need to do, then you're saying, Lord, with your help, help me do this. Lord, with your help me do that. And that's why when you're listening to a message, sometimes we just want to hear scripture. We want to hear clarity. But what we don't want to hear is what God's saying specifically to me. I don't want to hear about forgiveness today. That's not why I came in. I was just wanting to hear James. I didn't want to hear about stewarding differently. I didn't want to hear about changing my career. I didn't want to hear about changing who I am in my marriage. I didn't want to hear about the way I parent. I didn't want to hear about forgiveness. I didn't want to hear any of that stuff. I just wanted to feel good. And yet the word of God comes and the Holy Spirit meets you right where you're at, because he knows the next step of what he's trying to chisel away and what he's trying to sand away and what he's trying to make new, so that you become the fullness of everything God wants you to be. And you have to apply the word. I mean, think back to the Old Testament, right? Think back to the Old Testament when the children of Israel were leaving Egypt. And they had to, on the last night, slaughter a lamb and then do what? Apply the blood. They had to take the blood and put it on the doorposts. Now, they could have said, listen, we're willing to do the supper. We're willing to kill the innocent lamb. We'll do everything. But do you know how gross it is to put blood on a doorpost? I mean, that's gonna stick. It's gonna look awful. It looks weird. It's kind of masochist. I don't know that I'm gonna do that. What would have happened if they hadn't have done that? What happened to every home in Egypt that didn't do that? The eldest died. You have to apply the word. When you come to church, you should be asking this question: Lord, what do you want me to apply today? What are you saying to me right now? And here's the way the Lord works. He works specifically and not generally. He will talk to you about you. He will tell you what you need to do. And when he does, it will bother you, because he's not talking to anybody else about that. Your specific application to what God wants for your life may look like nobody else's. I mean, we can read Romans about, you know, what we look at with our eyes and why that's important. But the specific application to you may look different than the specific application to me. I remember when the Lord told me to get rid of cable television. I'm like, you got the wrong guy. To this day, I don't have cable TV. And it's not because I got DirecTV either. I don't have channels. But it's not like I'm gonna rant. And I don't think that's what every Christian should do. I don't. I know that's what God wants for me, right? So what's he saying to you? Because when he says something specific to you, usually it goes something like this: how come I'm the only one that has to go through this right now? Why are you doing this to me? So-and-so doesn't have to do that. So-and-so doesn't need to be obedient to that. You didn't call so-and-so to act like, yeah, I'm not talking about so-and-so, I'm talking to you. Are you gonna listen to me? I mean, that's the way the Lord works. He always works that way. Sometimes there's things generally for us as a church or as a body or as a family or things like that. But oftentimes I find that the Lord is speaking directly to the heart. And it's only Christians that get the benefit of hearing this. I mean, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, it says this about the natural man, meaning somebody that's not saved. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. When you start talking to non-believers like I'm talking to you, like, that's an idiot right there talking. Why would anybody do that? Why would you change your behavior based upon someone you can't see? Because they can't discern it. But when you know that the Lord is real and he's speaking through his word, he's going to talk to you about you in ways he's not going to talk to anybody else. And we say, oh, I want that, until he's making you make a change you don't want to make. But that's how you grow your spiritual muscle. That's how you develop into what God wants you to be. And you see, for many of us, we have to realize this is how God wants us to grow. I remember in college, you can take classes in college. You can take classes for grades, or you can do what's called an audit. You remember that? Credit, no credit classes? And then if you're auditing a class, here's what it means. You can come if you want, but you don't have to come if you don't want. And you can read the textbook if you want, but you don't have to read the textbook if you don't want. And hey, you can take the test if you want, but you don't have to take the test if you don't want. And at the end of the semester, it's all the same, because you aren't getting any credit for being here, and nobody cared whether you came or not. Some of us audit God like that. Some of us audit church like that. I'll come if I want. I don't come if I don't. I mean, I really don't care what the results are. I'm just an auditor. No, you're not. You're a son or a daughter of the Most High God. And there's something about being in the presence of God with his people, hearing his word, that changes who you are. This year on vacation, we were gone 3 Sundays. Normally, we go to a church and we visit and do that. This year, we decided to watch online, which was great. Love the preachers because I picked them. Love the worship because I know all the songs. I mean, we had a great time watching. It was good. But when I got back from vacation, I sat in that front row with my wife and the music started. I started to cry because I'm like, I'm back with my people. There's something about being in the presence of God with his people that changes you. It's not, you're making me come to church? You don't have to come to church. I'm telling you, you're missing out if church isn't the biggest priority in your life. But you don't have to. God's not a have-to God. God says, I'm worthy of everything you have. What are you holding back from me? Right? That's what it means to apply the word. When you're hearing it today, it's not that you remember all 4 of these points. It's that you take what God showed you and you apply it to your life. You apply it. And the word feeds the spirit man inside of you, and the spirit man inside of you loves it, and it offends the old man, that one that wants to hang on to the past. Well, this is who I am, and this is who I've always been. The word of God offends that one. But that's why we need to be in the word. That's why we need to apply the word. That's how we grow in the word. And here's why, because you're either green and growing or you're ripe and rotting. You cannot spiritually plateau just by cruising. You will go down. You say, well, I've been studying the Bible for years. Great. It got you to here. And if you stop, you will go down. There's no spiritual plateaus. You don't get to a place where you get to be like, okay, I've done this for 70 years now. I'm just going to cruise into Jesus. No, you're not. You're probably going to go down a spiral you don't want to go. You need to continue on with him. Amen? You need to apply the word. You need to continue to grow with him, which leads to point number 4. Not only do we need to apply the word, but then finally we need to do this. Growing in Christ requires a continuation in the word, a saturation of it. I mean, if we believe what the scriptures say, that they're useful for teaching, rebuking, and correcting, and training in righteousness, if we believe what the word says, that no prophecy had its origin in the will of man, but it was men moved by the Holy Spirit, spoke from God, if we believe that this entire book is of the Lord, then we need to continue in it. You need to marinate in it. Some of you that are grill experts know that you need to marinate a piece of meat for a long period of time. You know, they have these things at the grocery store now, it's like 5-minute marinade. I'm telling you, it doesn't work. It'll burn off as soon as you put that sucker on the grill. If you're gonna marinate, you gotta let that soak in. You gotta let it be there. You gotta let it own and be inside the meat for you to be able to have the flavor that you want it to have. The same is true of the word. You gotta continue in it. And there's too many Christians that have said, well, I've already read the Bible. I went to church for 20 years. I don't need that anymore. Yes, you do. I need it every day. You need it every day. We have to continue in this process. The continuing process of hungering for the word, the continuing process of preparing for the word, the continuing process of applying the word, and it never, ever ends. Why? Because God has us just the way he wants, and God wants to use us. I mean, the Bible makes clear that we are already dead in our transgressions and sins, and that it is the Spirit of God who lives in us. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, and God wants to work in and through me to accomplish his purpose. That's why verse 25 says it like this when you talk about continuing in the word. But the one who looks intently, that means focused, at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. You want to have a blessing of the Lord? Stay in the word. You wanna have a blessing of the Lord when you're in trials? Stay in the word. You wanna have a blessing of the Lord when you're under temptation? Stay in the word and then do what he says. Put into practice what he shows you. You say, well, the law sounds like confining. No, the law is what brings liberty. Like, none of God's commands are burdensome. All of the commands that God gives us in his words are to set us free from the power of sin and death. All of his commands are good. They're guardrails that keep us from going off course. They're keep us in line so that we can enjoy the fullness of who he is. That's why we continue in his word. And we never stop until we hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. Let me present you faultless before my Father. We don't stop. We keep going. We continue. Why? Because God's doing a work in us. And the longer we allow God to do the work, the more fruitfulness you're gonna see. I was thinking about ventriloquists the other day. Have you ever seen ventriloquists? You know, they hold these little puppets on their lap. And after a while, if they're really good, I don't know how they do it, by the way, but if they're really good, it's almost as if they're not there anymore and it's the puppet who's doing all the talking, like they actually have a personality. I mean, this very lifeless puppet, this one that's dead, I mean, there's no life in it, because of the master's hands and the master's voice, it starts moving in such a way that you're like, wow, that thing's really speaking. That thing has a mind of its own. It's really the mind of its owner, right? When you walk in the word, it's as if God puts his hand on you in such a way that he does something in and through you that only he can do. That he's the one that's moving in and through you. He's the one talking through you. He's the one doing it. Other people may see the Spirit of God and be like, well, what's that? Well, that's not him. You know what? That's not her. That's the Spirit of God coming through. How does that come? Through the continuation of the word. It means I'm not done growing. I'm gonna continue growing in Christ. I'm gonna continue being all that God wants me to be. I'm gonna continue being the man or the woman or the boy and girl he wants me to be, which is this. What's God shown you today? If you've been willing to hear what he has to say, he's been telling you about something. Maybe there's a sin you need to confess and forsake. Maybe there's somebody that you need to forgive. Maybe there's a way you need to start living differently. Maybe there's some areas you need to take ownership in your life you haven't taken ownership of. Maybe there's ways you need to relate to your spouse different. Maybe there's a way you need to be a more godly single. Maybe there's a way you need to deal with your finances differently. I don't know, but it's always amazing to me when people hear God, they'll come and say like a week later, when you spoke on money last week, and I think, I didn't talk about money, but God was talking to you about money. Or when you spoke on forgiveness last week, I'm like, I didn't talk on forgiveness last week, but God spoke to you about forgiveness last week. Right? It's the Spirit of God that's taking his word into your life right now and saying, what you gonna do with it? How are you gonna apply it? And what you do with that word will determine your growth and maturity in Christ. And he loves you enough to send trials, and he loves you enough to allow temptation so that you will be quick to hear him, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. So you can experience more of the righteousness of God. Amen.
You're listening to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Schwarzentraub, and the final part of a message titled Growing in the Word. Today's lesson comes from our new series, Walk Your Talk. And if you've missed any messages in this current study, you can catch up at our website, bravemedia.online. Here at Brave, our mission is to save, mature, and multiply brave disciples of Jesus Christ by sharing the truth of God's Word. And as we do our best to help new listeners continue growing in the Word, we invite you to stand with us and join our efforts by supporting Brave with a generous donation. We're thankful for fellow believers like you, willing to give what they can to help bring the gospel to people who perhaps have never heard before. Your donations really do make a difference, and right now is a great time to step in with your support as we push into a new year of ministry outreach. You can make a gift today of any amount by clicking the Donate tab at bravemedia.online or by calling us at 360-552-7283. That's 360-552-7283. You can send a check in the mail, write to us at Brave Church, 3651 South Colorado Boulevard, Englewood, Colorado, 80113. And if you live near the Denver metro area, we'd love to have you join us for weekend services at Brave Church. You can join us for worship at any of our three campuses in Englewood, Westminster, and Colorado Springs, or tune in wherever you are by live streaming our services at bravemedia.online. Head to the bottom of the homepage and click the Brave Church button for directions and details. And if you have questions or comments for Pastor Jeff, click the tab that says Email Us. I'm your host, Bill Carl. Thanks for joining in. We'll see you again next time for more Brave Bible teaching from Pastor Jeff. Be sure to join us then for Brave. with Jeff Schwarzentraub. Today's program was produced and furnished by Brave Church in Denver, Colorado.